Chapter 10 of Luke. Chapter 10 of Luke. Chapter 10. Amen. This is where the Lord, he sends out the 70 and again commissions them to go out and heal the sick and all those things. We're going to read that a little bit and get in a couple things on that. Most everybody here knows the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, but we'll go over some of that. And it says, after these things, the Lord appointed on the other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. He sent them ahead of time. He sent them ahead, you know. And the Bible talks about John the Baptist being, he was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And then John fulfilled his calling, and then the Lord took him home. And it didn't happen the way John thought was going to happen. You know, your life a lot of times doesn't happen the way you think is going to happen, the way things turn out. And I know this. I know the law of sowing and reaping. If you reap good things, you reap. If you sow good things, you'll reap good things. And the law of sowing and reaping. But sometimes the Bible talks about it. It says, don't be afraid of sudden fear or something that comes on you quickly. We've had that happen in our own family. We've had things happen that we didn't expect, didn't know was coming. I mean, we didn't see it. It just came. And like my wife one day was coming home from cleaning the house. I think she was at Mrs. Nunn's house and cleaning the house, and she was coming home, and the sun was in her eyes, and she turned in the driveway. She thought she hit the dog, and it was a guy on a motorcycle and killed him right in our driveway. And we didn't foresee that. I mean, I got real heavy burden going to Dover one day, and I mean, at the same time, and I called home, and the phone was busy. And then I called back, and it was a girl named Sheena that was on the phone, and she's crying. And I said, Sheena, were you on the phone? She was talking to this boy before, and I've been on her about not talking to the boy unless she got permission from me to talk to him. And because she was living with us, and we was taking care of her, and she was like 15 or 16. And she said, Miss Ryman was in an accident. And I said, what? Where? And she said, right in the driveway. So it was kind of things that happen. Sometimes you don't see that stuff coming. And we just, man, we didn't turn our back on God. We didn't curse God and, you know, and die and all that kind of stuff. We had to trust in. We have to, you know, when things come in your life, the Bible says the trying of your faith being much more precious than gold. So you're going to get tried. There's things that come. I mean, you're just doing right, living for God, and all of a sudden something happens. And you didn't foresee it. I talked to Mrs. Cavelli the other night. Her husband just died. And she told me, I forgot all about it. Kids told me a while back, but her son was killed in April. I didn't know that. And we talked for about an hour and 15, 20 minutes and prayed together. But you never know, man. You don't know what's coming around the corner. And you just got to walk with the Lord, trust the Lord, and ask God that this, you know, go before you. The Lord sent these out two by two. And, you know, it's a blessing when you got a wife, you're both on the same page. When I was going to Bible school, Doc would let the women go to Bible school at night if they're married, if a couple's married. He would let them go. The women didn't have to pay for the women because he didn't want the man to get up here spiritually and the woman be here. And he wanted to see, they always talked about Doc being a male chauvinist and all that stuff, but he wasn't. He wanted to see the women grow right along with the men and wanted them to be on the same page. And I think that's good for a husband and wife to be on the same page, wanting to live for God, wanting to put the Lord first in their life. But if you don't have that, you don't have the husband and wife on the same page, it's like hell on wheels, man. It'd be hell on wheels. And the Lord sent them out two by two, and the reason why would be accountability. And accountability to each other. And that's why when you go on visitation, it's not good for you to go by yourself. It's have somebody with you. And so he sent them out two by two, and he sent them before him that they were going to go into places where he was going to come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The laborers are few. And very, you know, every once in a while we'll see somebody get saved, somebody get on fire for God and want to do something. But then, you know, what happens is a lot of people, they start fizzling out. They'll fizzle out. They won't be witnessing like they used to. They won't be doing the things that they all used to do. And you say, what happened? Yeah, I mean, you don't want to throw it in their face. What happened to you? What happened? I mean, it's, you know, the Bible talks about this race that we're in, this race of life, but this race as a Christian, you're supposed to pace yourself. And a lot of guys will take off like a like a bat out of you-know-what, and they'll take off, and they'll be running hard and for the Lord, and then all of a sudden they'll find Christians against them, and they'll find this against them and that against them, and finally they get to the place they say, I quit. Now, Jordan, don't you get that way. And other Christians, don't get that way. You got to pace yourself. And what I mean by that, I mean, if you can run, if you're a runner, you see the marathon runners, and them guys pace themselves, but the guy, he's picked up the pace a little bit, and he doesn't win as fast because he's prepared himself. He's practiced. And you see the guys that, you know, that run these marathons, they pace themselves, and they keep getting it, and then they pick up the speed as they get closer to the end. But what happens to a lot of Christians, they start slowing down when they get closer to the end, where you ought to be picking it up a little bit. Brother Jerry was saying, he's 76 years old. He wants to do more for the Lord. He's trying to pick it up a little bit. And as you get older, you start realizing, hey, man, I haven't done nothing. I haven't really done nothing for God. You know, I feel that way. I haven't really done nothing. I'm not like, okay, I'm satisfied. I'll sit over here and everything's cool because I've done my part. That ain't the way I feel. No Christian ought to feel that way. You should never feel like, okay, I've done my part. I've done fulfilled my commission, and I'm just going to take it easy. No. It ain't that way. You're supposed to run the race all the way to the end. And those that, you know, run in the race, run all, the Bible says. And it says, you know, and one receiveth the prize. Now, I'm not running against Jerry. I'm not running against Mike. I'm not running against anybody in this room. I'm not running against you. And you're not running against me. I hope you not realize that. You're not running. We're not running against each other. We're not trying to outdo each other. We got our own race to run. And our race is whether we're going to, you know, how we're going to finish. And I've told this story before. I've watched that, that Tough Man, or it's a marathon they have in Hawaii where they swim, and Iron Man. And, man, I've watched that thing, and I've sat there and cried watching that thing at the end. And I watched some of them people fall down, and they got near the end. They were like, you know, eighth of a mile from the finish line. And they got down, they fell down, and the people were yelling, get up, and they got up, and they started crawling. And man, they started, got up to their feet, and they started running, and they fell back down again. I've watched men and women do that, and they finished, though. It's something about finishing. People were running by them, and running by them, and running by them, and they started end up crawling. And they were bleeding and everything else, but they finished their course. They finished their race. And that's what we ought to have our sights on, to finish this race. I'm 64. I'll be 65 coming up, and I don't know how much time the Lord's given me. I don't know. You don't know. Brother George was 39. George kept telling me, he kept saying, preacher, I'm not going to live to 40. I said, shut up, boy. Shut up. Don't tell you say that. And, boy, he was right on it. You don't know. Nobody knows. What is your life but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away? We don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows. We've had a lot of loved ones here pass away. We love. And, man, we thought we wanted them to stay. Man, we wanted them to stay. We wanted them to stay close to it. I mean, they were faithful. They were doing stuff. George was always 100%, I mean, going at it. George, that's what tickled me about George. When I first met George, he was just a kid and come up to the house riding his bike and showing me jump and, you know, he'd fall down and everything. He was just a goofy kid. But I knew God could use that boy. And I knew God could use a lot of them guys that we've seen. And some of them just quit. We've seen here, just Roe came by, and we've seen some people come back. And some of them just have not been in. They haven't been in. And it's a shame. It's a shame that they just sat down on the sidelines and wiped their tears and wiped their, you know, their sores or whatever they got. And they want to be mad at God or something. He said, well, I'm not mad at God, but you're sitting on the sideline. The Lord saved. We sing, saved by the blood of the crucified one. He saved us. He washed us in the blood. I mean, we have no business sitting on the sideline. You might have to take a breather, but I tell you what, you have no business sitting on the sideline. He says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Every day you live, you're in the harvest, man. If you're serving God, if you're trying to honor God, passing out tracts, witnessing, you're in the harvest, trying to win people to the Lord. And especially this time, man, I tell you what, I'm looking at the news, the news that comes across your phone. I'm looking at the news, all these killings and people killing people. And then a woman left her little 2-year-old child at a Salvation Army down in Mississippi, just left a note saying, I can't take care of him no more. Little 2-year-old boy, how did a little 2-year-old boy feel? left a note on his shirt. A little two-year-old boy. And people just, man, people need the Lord, man. They need God. Amen. People are looking, and the way this world's at right now, what's going on, you don't know what's going to happen. He says, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among what? He said, I send you lambs among wolves. And he's telling these disciples and these 70, I'm sending you as lambs among wolves. And that's where it's still, there's still a bunch of wolves out there, folk. Amen. There's a bunch of wolves. And you're still God's lamb. I mean, before we were saved, we were dogs. We were Gentile dogs. And now God made us a lamb. And he said, you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable. And so he said, I'm going to send you among wolves. And you got to be shielded up. You better have all your shield. You better be prepared. You better have on the whole armor of God. He said, go your ways. I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoe. Salute no man by the way, but into whatever house ye enter. He's telling these 70, first say, peace be to this house. And he said, if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn and shall turn to you again. And he says, you know, it's just something about, you know, peace. And this is a commission that he's given to 70. He gave them commission to go out. But I'll tell you what, we have a commission. And you talking about peace in the house. Boy, isn't that something? He said, whatever peace you get put on the house, and if the peace is there, it'll stay. And he says, if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. Verse 6, if not, it shall turn to you again. If the same house remaineth eating, drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into what city you enter in, ye enter. He says, they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is not come nigh unto you. I told you when we started out, the kingdom of God, when Jesus Christ was on this planet, he was preaching the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. He was preaching both of them. They were both together. In the Garden of Eden, they were together. But when man sinned, the kingdom of God went out, and the kingdom of heaven stayed. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells you that. The Bible tells you there's a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is suffering violence. Take your Bible, look in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. We're in the kingdom of heaven, but we got the kingdom of God inside of us. We're in the kingdom of heaven, but the kingdom of heaven is not our final destination. This is not our place. You read Matthew, you read through there about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. The sower went forth to sow in the kingdom of heaven. So you find all these things that he talks about, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, chapter 13, and we'll look at that in a minute. But look in Matthew 11, this is how you know what the Bible says about the kingdom of heaven. He said, verily, verse 11, he said, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there have not been risen or greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. So right now, violence going on. And the violent taketh it by force. There's stuff going on, man, in the world that we have no idea. If we knew it, it would just, we would blow our minds. We'd think, my Lord. And the Lord knows. He knows what's going on. You know why? The God of this world is running everything. The God of this world is taking care of, he brings violence. When a man walks with God, he has peace inside of him. When a man walks and marries, that's why it's make sure you marry the right person in your life. If not, it won't be no peace in your home. It'd be hell on earth. And you got to have peace. The Bible talks about the Holy Ghost of God when he comes inside you. He gives you joy, peace, and long-suffering, gentleness, so on. That's in Galatians chapter 5. You know, man, you want peace. Everybody's looking for peace. That's why they try drugs. They can't find no peace. They drink, and they look on Facebook. They're trying to find something to satisfy them. They're trying to find something. They're looking at movies. They look whatever they can find to try to bring some peace in their life. And the only way you're going to have real peace as a Christian is having Jesus Christ reigning and ruling in your life. And, man, trying to do something for him. When I have real peace is when I'm in church and when I'm singing or when I'm or witnessing somebody. Man, you talking about a real peace that comes over. Man, you talking about, man, that's something. Take your Bible, look in Galatians. Hold your place in Matthew and Luke and go to Galatians. Get your other hand, look in Galatians. Look at 5, Galatians 5. This is elementary stuff, but it's good stuff. It's like getting a good cold glass of milk. That's what it's like. And look, in Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit. Do you have any fruit in your life? Do you have any fruit in your life? Now, I'm not talking about just winning souls. I'm talking about when you're by yourself. When you're by yourself. Nobody else is around. It's just you and God and the devil. And it says the fruit of the Spirit is love. When you're by yourself, do you find yourself getting mad at people and being mad, wanting to hurt somebody? It says joy, joy. You know, the Bible says in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you ain't got no joy in your life, my. It says, the Bible says in Nehemiah, joy of the Lord is joy is strength. Love. You know, God is love. John, 1 John, God is love. And it talks about if you love God, you'll love your brother. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such as no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Go back to Matthew. And go back to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. It says, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent taketh it by force, verse 12. And so the difference between the two kingdoms is one of them's earthly and one of them's spiritual. One of them's earthly, the other one's is spiritual. So where's the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God now? It's inside you. It's in here. And you ought to be spreading the kingdom. You know, you hear people, you go to some churches, and they don't believe in getting saved. They don't believe in it. So they'll say, God, now you bless your kingdom on this earth. You know, Jesus even told the disciples, you know, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We want God's kingdom come. The answer is not Donald Trump. I'd like to see him get back in, I'll tell you that. But the answer is not that. The answer is that thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's going to be done on earth as it is in heaven one day when the Lord comes back for the kingdom. You know what Israel was? They were supposed to be the representatives of the kingdom of God on earth. You know what? They didn't do a very good job. You know what we're supposed to be? As a church, as Christians, we're supposed to be the representatives of the kingdom of God. Why? Because the kingdom of God's inside you. Luke 17, I think it is. I think it's Luke 17. Here it is. Luke 17. Luke 17, the difference between the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is spiritual. The kingdom of heaven is physical. And when he was demanded, these are the Pharisees, they said to him, when is this kingdom of God coming? When is it? Now, I wish I knew the day when the Lord was coming back. I wish I knew. I know time and the season's getting close. I don't know when. Wouldn't that be something if we all knew? You know what? If we knew a day when the Lord was coming back, I think we'd all be on point more. If you thought the Lord was coming back in, say, 2024, say if the Lord coming back 2024, guess what? We'd be doing more. Because it's a dead set date. The date is set, but the Lord knows. We don't know. So the Lord says, okay, serve me. Serve me. It's not blind faith. It's trusting God. It's just saying, Lord, I trust you. I trust you through your word. Lord says, serve me. You don't know when your time is up. You don't know when it is. But look in Luke 17, look at verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them, and he said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. He said, but neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you, is inside you. So the kingdom of God is inside you. It ought to have peace. It ought to have comfort. It ought to have joy. You ought to have those things like the Bible says the Holy Ghost of God has given to Christians. You ought to have those things. And who doesn't want their home a type of the kingdom of God at home? Who doesn't want that? Peace, love, joy, and so on. And then look what verse 22 says. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when they shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it, and they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as lightning cometh, as lightning lighteth out of the one part of the under heaven, shineth on the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. And so on. Go back to, that was in Luke 17. Luke 17. Go back to Luke chapter 10. Go back to Luke chapter 10. He sent these 70 out. He gave them a commission. And they went out to fulfill that commission. And look at verse 9. He said to heal the sick. He tells them to heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of God has come unto you. You say, was the kingdom of God there? Yes, it was. The kingdom of God was there. When Jesus Christ was on the planet, the kingdom of God was there. And that's why he told them to say it. Kingdom of God's here. Heal the sick, raise the dead, so on. It's here. And it says, whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your way out of the street the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, we be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the day of Sodom than for that city. My. He's saying, man, you think about Philadelphia. Philadelphia, brotherly love. That was a city that was founded by Christians. Laid out four square, just like the New Jerusalem. They laid that thing out like New Jerusalem. Christians did. Brotherly love. You go in the, you'd be crazy to go up there at night. You get some brotherly love, they'll put a bullet in you. And you go to D.C., you go to Washington, go to major cities, there ain't no brotherly love around. There ain't no love there. The kingdom of God ain't there. And ain't there. You know why? They kicked God out a long time ago. They kicked God out. They kicked God further and further out, kicking him out. And the kingdom of God is getting further and further. But still, if he's got you, he said, let your light so shine. If here you are as a Christian, I as a Christian, we're supposed to let our light shine so people can see the kingdom of God. They can see the kingdom of God. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto the Bethesda. For if a mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. He's telling them, that he said, man, at the judgment, man, when the judgment comes of nations and when he judges the people, it's going to be more tolerable for them, Sodom and Gomorrah, than it was for Jerusalem, those that reject the truth. I'm telling you, folks, when you have the truth, the Bible tells you to buy the truth and sell it not. When you have the truth and you just kind of discard it and you're not excited about it, you know, love the truth and sell it not. It says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I mean, we got the truth. You know what happens to Christians? They get used to it. We get used to the truth, and we think, oh, it doesn't excite us anymore. It doesn't make us happy. Man, the truth is something. Thank God for the truth. He is the way, life, and the truth. He's the truth. And what happens, people get to they get used to it. You know what happened to Jerusalem? You know what happened to them cities of the Jews? They got used to God being on their side. And then finally the Lord said, man, I tell you what, you need to repent. And when the kingdom of God showed up, was Jesus Christ, when it showed up, he's preaching to them, they said, who's this guy think he is? Who does he think he is coming in here telling us? He's the one that made them. He's the one that set up and told them how to build that temple where Moses was. And they always refer back to Moses. He's the one that did it all. And they reject him. I'm telling you, when you have the truth, thank God for it. You know, that Bible tells us, look over in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. This is important. Here, America was not founded, so, you know, it'd be a melting pot. America, they were running from falsehood. People were running from religion. And they came to America. And, man, they wanted America to be the nation that would, you know, accept the truth and have the truth. And it was, but what happens is they corrupt it. They corrupt the truth. Look at here. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, verse 18, against all ungodliness, unrighteous of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You know what? All them people in Washington, D.C., they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They know what's right. They won't do it. They won't do it. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Everybody ever born, they know God showed them, is in them. They know what's right. They know what's truth. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like on the corruptible man, and the birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth. You know, when the Antichrist shows up, the Bible says he's going to change times and change, what else is it? Time and seasons. He's going to change a lot of things. And he's going to say that what was truth before ain't truth now. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter anymore. That's why they got to get rid of the Bible. You got to get rid of the Constitution. You got to get rid of things, man, that stands for truth. You got to get rid of it. The Bible's the main truth. You got to get rid of it. So that's what they're working on. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator. That's where we're at in America. You go to jail for, you know, shooting any kind of bird or eagle or endangered species, but killing a baby, no big deal. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever, amen. For this cause, God gave him up unto vile affections. You got Buttigieg, that Biden just says, we're going to put him in there. And, you know, he's a LGBT whatever, sodomite. And look what it says. For this cause, God gave him up on vile affections. It says, for even their women did change the natural use in that which is against nature. When the Antichrist is going to say, well, nature says that thing, but we're going to go against nature. Everything goes against nature. Everything goes against what's truth. And likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in the lust one towards another. There's better Jew, whatever his name is. Men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which is meat. The recompense of their error. Where do you think AIDS came from? I think this virus is another thing that God sent down. I think all this stuff, it's not coincidence, folks. It's not coincidence. I think God sends judgment, sends warnings. It's like shooting over the bow of a ship. I think the Lord's just warning you. I'm coming. I'm coming. You keep it up. It says, likewise also men leaving the natural use. And going down to verse 28, even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind due to the things which are not convenient. Say, so where does that come from? Not loving the truth. Young people in this church, I hope you always love the truth. Amen. Stay by the truth. Older people, stay by the truth. And I don't understand where, they was talking about somebody today, the girls were telling me about somebody got saved here, said they got it there, were they atheists or what? Whether you was telling me about the young lady today. Somebody was telling me about a young lady today. So she got claimed she got saved. She used to go to North Carolina with us on the bus and all that stuff. And now she's claiming that she's this and that and all that kind of crazy stuff. And the reason why, she ain't got no peace. She ain't got no joy. She ain't got no comfort from the Holy Ghost. Go back to Luke. Go back to Luke for a minute, and we'll close. We'll have to stop. Luke 11 or 10. Love the truth. I get excited about certain things. I like football. I like certain sports. I like race cars. I like stuff like that. I like trucks. But I don't want nothing for me to get more excited about than about worshiping him. Amen. Nothing. Amen. Nothing. Amen. I want to be more excited about him, about what he's done. I want to be able to go through the house going, yeah, thank you, Lord. He says, thou Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrusted down to hell. We went through Capernaum. We went to Capernaum. Nothing there. Capernaum was a trading capital. And it's not even there. And he says, he that heareth you, heareth me. He that despise you, despise me. He that despise me, despise him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. You know, that's I've been around some people that got unclean spirits in them. I've been around some things. I've dealt with some things. But, you know, if them people had unclean spirits, I could say, in the name of Buddha, it wouldn't even affect them. And I've had it happen. Not saying Buddha, but you could say, in the name of Muhammad, and that doesn't even affect him. But I remember dealing with some guys that came at me with bottles that had unclean spirits in them, and I went, in the name of Jesus. And I pointed my finger at them. In the name of Jesus, stop. And them dudes froze. Power in that name. And it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fallen from heaven. I could cover a lot of that about there, right there. There's a lot there. Isaiah 14, Revelation 12. You go through a lot of things right there. But look at verse 19. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. These are 70. And over all power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's the disciples had power. The apostles had power. He said, notwithstanding, verse 20, I want you to see this. Notwithstanding, he says, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. There, Jordan, he says, rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. That's something to get excited about. I'm going to tell you something. When you stand at the gate and you come to the gate, I mean, you're not even going to go to the gate if you're not even saved. You ain't even going to make it to the gate. I mean, the Bible talks about the names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you got saved, God took that blood pen with the blood of Jesus. I don't know if that's be true or not. But he took that and wrote your name. We sing that song. I thought about that song. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. But if God wrote a new name, names mean something in the Bible. Your name would mean something on what you've done for him. If he wrote down that new name. Jesus said, don't rejoice because your spirits are subject on you. But rejoice because your name's written down in heaven. God knows your name. They sing that song, He Knows My Name. That's a great thing. We'll stop right there.